I want us to focus on that because today we're talking about resolving conflict. And if you're a wise person, remember, wise doesn't mean smart, because there's a lot of smart people in this world who don't know Jesus Christ. And so they don't have the wisdom of God. But if we are learning to be humble before our Lord and walking in the ways of our Creator, there's the relationship of wisdom. And so when somebody is trying to start a quarrel or do something like that, a wise person knows how to get out of the way of the punch. We'll see that as we go. So today there's an outline looks like this. Patience forgives an offense. Prudence avoids a dispute. Wisdom avoids the troublemaker. I need to stop right now because there needs to be a balance. Sometimes we as believers think we're giving all of God's grace when we just let everything slide. That's not God's grace. That's us trying to just have a happy life and avoid things. That's denial. That's avoidance. There's plenty of places in Scripture where it says if you've got a brother or sister who are acting up, it is our job to come in and say, hey, look, you need to be right with the Lord. Right? Well, we always say, well, don't judge. That's not judging. The kind of judging that is always rebuked in Scripture is the kind that judges me better than you. The Pharisees, that's where that whole phrase, don't judge lest you be judged, comes in relation to the Pharisees who thought they were better than you and they could find every way to prove it. By the way, we've been talking the difference between a wise person and a fool. The wise person knows that they need to learn. They know that they need to work on things. They're very humble and they stand right before the Lord and allow the Lord to teach and guide them. They do not in their own mind think they know everything. But the fool, on the other hand, this is everything. Doesn't really need God. May talk about God, but everything is right here. They know everything, whether they have the facts or not. And so here's a conflict that goes on. And so the fool, as you're going to find out, we looked at last week, the fool, and it has many different names, the fool, the perverse, the gossip, and so on and so forth. They love to stir up trouble. We're going to see that today, where the wise person is not looking for trouble. But as a wise person, we need to understand that when trouble comes our way, we have to respond in a certain way, and sometimes we have to call people with a rebuke. So do not hear me today say that the wise person is a milquetoast that never confronts the issue. The difference is the fool is causing the problem and longs for the quarrel, where the wise person isn't looking for a quarrel, they're looking for resolution. The fool is looking, you have to see things my way. The wise person says, we have to see things God's way. There's the contrast I want you to pick up and see. That's throughout Proverbs, that's constant throughout what we're doing. So let's talk about resolving conflict. I will do my level best to not be long-winded like I was last week. I'll do my best, okay? Which some of you are going, oh, great, that doesn't mean much, but we'll do it. Okay, look at, first of all, patience forgives an offense. Patience is one of the themes in Scripture, and it is never used in relation to a fool, a gossip, a troublemaker, a mocker. It's always in reference to the wise person. And remember, the wise person is not the one who knows everything. It's the person who is walking in the Creator's ways and trying to be in that relationship. Patience forgives an offense. Look at letter A. Love pardons. It does not ignore. How many times does an offense come your way and all you do is you just kind of ignore it? You don't address it in your own heart. A wise person is one when an offense comes. Hey, by the way, we get offended at some of the silliest little things. This world is all waiting to be offended. I see it all over the place, and it's getting worse. It's just ridiculous. I'm offended because, I don't want to give you an illustration because my head's going to go someplace and but we just get offended at things that we have no business being offended about. Okay? And you can think of those things. Most of these things we can choose to be mature and honor God's reputation and let it go. Hey, but after a while, those offenses pile up, whether it's from one person or a group of people over a period of time. So when I'm talking about this, I'm not saying that we just ignore it. But a wise person will always address it and work to forgive it. We talked about forgiveness a while back, remember? Forgiveness is trying to understand the other person. Forgiveness is not holding the grudge against them, not demanding they must pay the price for my hurt. But more importantly, after all of that, we have to restore harmony with the person. We just can't be right in our own heart and say, good, I've forgiven them. No, true forgiveness is, well, we've had this problem, now I'm going to work at restoring the relationship so that it's no longer an issue in my thinking. The wise person, they love pardons, it does not ignore. If you were to look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 12, it's the second part of that verse. We'll look at the first part later. And it talks, but, so there's a contrast between the fool in the first part, but it says, but love covers over all wrongs. The word there, cover, has the concept of to pardon. It's not just lift up the rug, put it under there because you'll deal with it later. It means to pardon. It means to forgive. A forgiver is one who's not walking around hot-tempered. One who forgives is not one who is walking around eager to gossip, etc., etc. One who is forgiving is following in the ways of Creator who has forgiven you. Here's another verse from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. And it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. And the truth is your Lord. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. And then it sums it up, love never fails. How many of you can fit that to a T? I think Jesus is the only one. But you know something else? We cannot throw up our arms and say, well, I'm not Jesus, so I don't have to work at this. If you're in Christ, you better work at this. The children of Christ are going to learn to excel here. This is the wisdom that Proverbs is talking about. Okay? So the focus here of the wise is forgiveness, not the offense. The fool is in the other direction, eager to find that offense and just explode. Sometimes love confronts. I've already mentioned this. James chapter 5, verse 20 says this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that we do not lean into our brothers and sisters or maybe ourselves and say, look, this is not right according to the way of the Creator. Sometimes we believers do that. Someone says, hey, look, you're treating that person in a very bad manner. Don't judge me is the word that comes out. You know what that really means? Let me do what I want to do. I'm 2 years old. I'm not grown up. Let me do what I want to do. God's ways don't matter. We need to be careful with that. Love pardons. It does not ignore. Look at letter B. Patience controls emotion. We talked a lot about that last week. Where anger comes from. It comes from emotion that is not controllable. All right? Proverbs 15:18, the second half. Again, it is a contrast. We'll look at the first part later. But a patient man calms a quarrel. The focus of the wise is harmony in the community. Now be careful. It's not harmony at the expense of truth. That's ridiculous, okay? There's a great portion of the world right now that wants to do that. Let's just have harmony, but let's don't pick on people. I'm going to say this out loud. Let's go make a place where they can go do a sin and destroy their bodies with heroin because it's more convenient for us. They're not caring for those people at all. Okay? There's a little rant for you, but okay. Harmony in the gospel means that we do more than just give them the place to continue a crime. We give them the tools and the ability to walk away from the crime. Patience controls emotions. As we've looked, the one who is a fool, who has many different names, doesn't control. Look at letter C. Patience reveals the relationship. One who is impatient is demonstrating they're not leaning into the relationship with their Lord and Savior. Those who are learning to be patient are those who are demonstrating that they're learning to walk in the way of the Lord. Proverbs 19:11. A man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Remember a man's wisdom? Proverbs, the Bible does not say, look into yourself, down at your bootstraps, pull yourself up, and be a good person. You know what the Bible says? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not one who seeketh after God. We are all hostile, enemies with our Lord, our Creator. That's what the Bible teaches. Mankind says, well, man is basically good, and we find the goodness in us, and then we can be something. That's the wisdom of man. The wisdom of God is you can't do it. Fall into God. Remember Proverbs 1:7? It says the same thing in Proverbs 19:10 and also 15:33. It says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and discipline. So what it's saying here, a man's wisdom, it's a man in his relationship with his Creator. So much so that humbly he is choosing to live the way that the Creator is laying out. So that when these emotions and these different things pop up, these offenses come up, it's not like I need to take care of me. It's I want to think about my Lord. I want to let Him take care of issues. Look at letter D. Protect the reputation of Christ. Do you realize that's your job? Your job is not to take care of you. Your job is to take care of the reputation of Christ. Why? Because when you're taking care of you, it gives a skewed, a perverted understanding of the gospel, a twisted understanding. The gospel is not about how you get taken care of. It's not about your rights. The gospel is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified who came for the entire world. And He's the only answer. See, that's our focus, the focus of the wise. Are focusing on the gospel, focusing on the message of Creator, not protecting himself. So, Proverbs 20, verse 3, just the very first part. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife. Okay? You know what that means, that honor? It's to his reputation. He is viewed as a really profitable person within the community. Not only that, but it demonstrates the relationship that you have with your Creator. 2 Corinthians 5:20, you probably know this verse. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. You know what that means? If I know Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm born again, I am His child. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And so what that means is, I am on this planet, and I have dual citizenship, here on this earth, but my primary citizenship is in heaven. And so instead of going around preaching Jim Porter, I'm preaching Christ. So when an offense comes my way, I don't preach Jim Porter, I preach Christ. That's why we learn to have patience and forgive. Hey, I understand it's difficult. I have watched people who have been in a public setting and somebody is attacking them. And it's very obvious, and it's very nasty, and it's very mean. And the person up front is just very patient, very prudent, and very merciful for those people. And then after the fact, those people turn that against him and say it was false humility. It happens. It's just difficult learning to be somebody who walks in God's ways, because the fool is always eager to twist the truth. That's why we got to trust in the Lord. And not in ourselves. Then letter E. Okay? Reward for honoring the Lord. There is a reward. And if you look at Proverbs 28, verse 25, the second half, again, it's a contrast. Look at the other part later. But he who trusts in the Lord will prosper. Hey, I'm a capitalist. I like to prosper. I'm a good American. I got a lot of stuff. I mean, we're in Belfair. How many storage units are here? I can't even, there's more storage units than pot houses, which is amazing. There's more storage units than coffee stands, which is, again, amazing. Okay, but think about it. That ain't the kind of prosper it's talking about. All that stuff you have in the storage unit in your home and wherever else, you're not going to take to heaven with you. It means nothing. I'm not preaching it away, but I'm saying, does it own you? What does this prosper mean? It's a relationship with the Lord that is more valuable than anything. It's more valuable than the car you drive, than the car you want to drive. It's more valuable than whatever position you hold at work, whatever position you dream to hold. It's more valuable than wherever your portfolio for retirement is. It's far more valuable than any of it because it lasts for eternity. It affects today and lasts for eternity. Okay, so how do you trust in the Lord? Number one, you got to be humble. You got to be humble. The fool is one who says, I've got to take care of myself. Oh, I trust God, I love God, but his activity, his uncontrolled emotions, it's all about how I protect myself. Because actually, God can't. I got to protect myself against whatever authority. I got to protect myself against whatever this, whatever this. Hey, there's some prudence in all that. But if you walk around that fearful, you are not trusting the Lord. Your relationship is telling. What do you trust most of all? Your own strength. There's a reward for those who honor the Lord. For those who trust in the Lord, they will prosper. The humble will be satisfied with the Lord. The humble will be secure in the Lord. There is no need to grasp for profit, whether things, cash, influence. That's so opposite from what Proverbs calls the fool. Now let's look at number two. We've been looking at patience. And so if you want to resolve conflict, learn God's kind of patience. Okay? And I'm here to tell you, if you haven't found out, it's a hard lesson to learn. And once I think I got it down, guess what? Tomorrow I realize I don't. Right? And so I throw up my arms and say, nah, only Christ can do it. No, I throw up my arms and say, please help me. So the second one is prudence avoids a dispute. So what is prudence? When you look it up in the dictionary, it'll say something like this. Someone who is careful about one's conduct, mindful of potential circumstances. In other words, they take the moment and say, if I explode and react to that statement, what's it going to look like at the end? It won't look very good. I ain't going to do it, right? Because I want to keep, if you're a wise person, I want to keep the relationship in harmony. Doesn't mean if this is a real serious offense, doesn't mean that I address it. What it means is I don't go and fight fire with fire. So letter A, here's how prudence avoids a dispute. Value harmony with your brother. I could put brother and sister, but in the context of Proverbs, it's written to young men. Value harmony with your brother. Proverbs 17:14 says this, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. So drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. You ever seen a dam breach, burst, explode? There was a real problem with it, what, just a few weeks ago in California? Okay, I know Paul and Sherry, they're coming up by train, and they made them get off the train and take a bus off safer ground, then picked up the train later because they're afraid that dam in California was going to burst. What's the problem when a dam bursts? It's a lot of volume, isn't it? Hey, I'm from Arizona. I've watched a flash flood. It's just water. Water's heavy. And then it picks up stuff, and it begins to gouge out the ground. I've watched it carry cars downriver. So when a volume of water is coming, guess what? Once it starts, it can't stop it till it reaches its goal. So that's the concept here. When you start a quarrel, it's like breaching a dam. So what do you do about it? Don't start a quarrel. A quarrel is more about personal response than a subject anyway. I have to be right. So I'm going to argue you until you decide I'm right. Right? That's what happens. Carrie and I've discovered this long ago. We start arguing, and after a while, after the emotion settles down, you go your way and you're going, you know, the thing we're disagreeing on really isn't that much. All we're doing is trying to convince each other to believe what the other wants to believe. That's all a quarrel is. Okay? The wise, they don't ignore the issue, though. They forgive it, and then they address it if they must. Forgiving doesn't mean if Fred Flintstone has offended me to the point where I'm having to forgive, and he's not stopping, and he's still doing something that's hurting me or hurting the community, at some point I need to say, hey, Fred, you need to stop that, and here's why. There's nothing wrong with doing that. Here's another way in which prudence avoids dispute. Letter B, avoid the power of resentment. The power of resentment is ridiculous. Proverbs 18:19. An offended brother is more unyielding than a fortified city, and disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. Don't offend. A wise person is looking not to offend. That doesn't mean you don't address the issue, but he's looking to not offend. We offend with an impulsive attack. We offend when we do not listen to the other person's point of view. They have a right to it. We offend when we fill in the gaps with our gut feelings. I know this, I know this, I don't know everything in between, but there's the conclusion I want. So obviously, logically, this is everything in the middle. And you've added it in with your imagination because you don't know any better. But you think you do. So a wise person is one who is not going to be offended. They're going to listen. They're going to be patient when they respond, and it's going to not be an attack, but it's going to be a discussion. And they're going to wait for all the facts rather than jump conclusions. It's really funny when somebody says, oh, I just know that. Well, how do you know that about that person? Oh, I just know. So you've reached inside their inner being, and you know their motive. Man, you are the most coolest person in the world. Only one I know that can do that is Jesus. Now, there's behavior that we can see and identify something, but some problems must be addressed, and then some people choose to be offended. You need to work with them. Some people enjoy being offended. You need to avoid them. We'll get to that towards the end, all right? There are some people that are just looking to be offended. And some you can work with them, and some they don't want to be worked with. One gets the patience and the effort. And one, as you'll see later, the Bible says, let them alone. Here's a third one. Prudence avoids a dispute. A contrast of character. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is to a man's honor to avoid strife. That's the wise person. That's the one who is in relationship with Creator, trying to live his way. But every fool is quick to quarrel. This is one who may talk about a relationship with God, but they really don't practice it. They're going to do their own thing. They have to protect themselves. They have to correct you. They are like the boss of it all. The wise avoid strife. How do they do that? They listen. They work to understand the person, the situation, and they forgive. They forgive. That doesn't mean you ignore the issue, okay? There comes a time when they must avoid those who cause strife as well, because some people don't want to stop it. A fool is eager for strife. That's what he stirs up. The minute he opens his mouth, that's all it's doing, because he has no patience and no prudence, no relationship with the Lord, really. He is eager to quarrel. Why? Because he's proud and unteachable. Because he lacks the emotional control. Because he is creating his own glory. There is no humility in the fool. There's false humility. But the one who loves the Lord and wants to walk in the way of the Lord is going to avoid the quarrel when at all possible. Look at number three. Wisdom avoids troublemakers. And we're doing pretty good on time, I told you. Ha, 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 ha. You naysayers. Wisdom avoids troublemakers. First, we want to see the characteristics of the troublemakers, and then later in letter B, we're going to see the wise response to them. So the characteristics. I want you to notice in all these verses that I've listed out, it says something about stirring up, which shows an effort or intentionality. They're not pleased with harmony. They're pleased to stir up. You need to know that somebody who is a fool can live in the drama and the chaos where you cannot, if you're a wise person. The fool lives in that unbridled emotion, lives in all that drama, lives in all that chaos, and they're not content unless they are. And so when there's a healthy church, calmness in relationships going on, the fool is being scared and eventually has to stir the pot. I love my mom. You're not supposed to say bad stuff about the dead, but this is the truth. My mom, I watched her. She would stir it up between two or three people. I'd watch her stir it up. And I would not allow myself to get... I think this is where a lot of Proverbs came into my life. And I saw Proverbs and I saw it acted out in a bad way. But she would stir it up. And everybody's getting all cranky and upset with each other. And then mom would come in and be the hero and fix it all. She would stir it up for her own glory. I love my mom dearly. She's a very smart lady, but that's what she did. Okay? My brother, he was down visiting him, and he politely took the opportunity to chew me out for something that happened years earlier. I sent you some books, Jim, that I was reading that were really important to me, and you never thanked me. You never did anything. Oh, yeah, I did, Dennis. I returned kind favor. I sent you some books that were important to me, and I thanked you for it. And I talked him through it, and he goes, you know, I remember that. You did. Jim, I owe you an apology. Because mom said, stirred it up. And so I helped Dennis by understanding, being calm, being patient, only by the power of God, not by the power of Jim Porter, let me tell you. And our relationship went farther and deeper right then, as soon as we took away that one who was stirring it up. Characteristics of a troublemaker. Number one, one who is a hater. Chapter 10, verse 12, the first part. Hatred stirs up dissension. Those who are consumed by hate, they cannot work for peace. And remember, I told you that anger sometimes is public and loud, and other times it's silent and simmering and cool and calculating. Okay? The one who is loud, you can say, there you are. But the one who is envious or jealous and they're cool and calculating, it's hard to pick those out because sometimes they are so skillful at earning our favor and then using us for their end. Those who are consumed by hate will not, cannot work for peace. Often a hater hates themselves. Often the hater hates themselves. Remember what Leviticus 19:18 says? Jesus quoted it in Matthew 22. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if I hate me, of course I'm going to hate you. If I learn that my value is in the one who created me and the one who saved me, and then I can learn to not hate myself anymore, then I can learn to love others. It's been remarkable how I've had an opportunity to teach certain people this, and they begin to realize it, and they turn into an entirely different person. Sarcasm goes away. The meanness goes away. The desire to quarrel goes away. Every once in a while, it raises its head, and you say, oh, yeah. Hatred is a terrible thing. Number two, characteristic of a troublemaker is one who is hot-tempered. We looked at that last week. Chapter 15, verse 18, the first part, a hot-tempered man stirs up dissension. It's intentional. It's something he works at. He cannot do anything else. Peace is not part of him. This is because his emotions are uncontrolled. He does not discipline himself. He has not learned the importance of disciplining the emotions and respecting another person. Here's another one, number three, one who is perverse. We always relate that to some kind of sexual nonsense. It's there too. But the term perverse means to twist and to turn the truth. To take the truth and make it mean just a shade different than what it intends to mean. You ever watch a political arena? and they call it the spin. It's not, it's a lie. It's a twisting, it's a perverting. Chapter 16, verse 28a says this, a perverse man stirs up dissension. They're intending to cause pain. They're intending to cause hurt. They're arrogant, and they will not learn. I know it all. And there are some people who are just bent this way and live it. Then number four, one who gossips. It's in the same verse, chapter 16, verse 28, just the second half. And it says, and a gossip separates close friends. A gossip always means to divide. Always. It always intends to hurt or to harm. Always. I don't need all the information. I got it all right here. Because I have this point of fact, and I'll make up the rest. And of course I'm right. This is what a fool does. Gossip. How do we define that? If you look up in the dictionary, it says something like loose and misleading tongue. That means to cause pain and or hurt. You know what the heart of a gossip? He's a hater. He's a hater. And all he wants to do is cause hurt and pain. So, if anybody brings gossip to you, stop them. If they have the characteristic and the nature of a gossiper, they're going to continue. Have nothing to do with them. Don't be afraid to say, stop. Okay? Gossip always means to hurt. Look at number five. One who loves to quarrel. That's kind of been throughout here and also last Sunday. Chapter 17, verse 19. He who loves to quarrel loves sin. Can you get any more straightforward than that? You love to quarrel, you love sin. Right? Because quarreling is not really talking about the issues, but it's attacking people. He goes on, he who builds a high gate invites destruction. This is one who is a lover of quarreling. He's a sinner. What does it mean by high gate? Well, there's different thoughts. It seems clear to me that when you build a high gate, you're isolating yourself from society, from community. This is who I am. Who wants to be around somebody who always wants to start a quarrel? I don't. So they lose friends. They stand pretty much alone. The friends they do have are kind of hanging along and letting them do all the quarreling. And sometimes they just think it's funny and they're laughing at the person. They would never tell them that. Other times they just want to be a part of the whole process of sin. And look at the quarreling going on. They're not bold enough to do what their heart wants to do, so they get this guy to do it. The lover of quarreling is a hater. And then one more, number six. One who brings strife. Chapter 18, verse 6. A fool's lips bring him strife, and a man's mouth invites a beating. He cannot help the community. He is not there to do that. In his mind, he might think he is because he's smarter than y'all. And he knows all the motives of everybody. And so his emotions, his imagination is making up, perverting the truth. He thinks he's helping the community, but he does not. He's a pain. By the way, it's the wise who avoid strife. And sometimes avoiding strife means you avoid the fool. Yeah, there are two more. Number seven, prudence avoids one who is greedy. Look at chapter 28, verse 25. A greedy man stirs up dissension. This is a question of who or what do you trust? And I think it's who. One who is greedy is eager on either saving money or getting money, but they're pretty proud to say, look at me. One who is not greedy is pointing and saying, look at the Lord. The greedy person is proud of his or her accomplishments. One who is walking according to Creator's ways is proud to say, look at my Lord, he's just a great person. He's awesome. The greedy use others for personal gain, whether it's cash, whether it's things, or influence. The prudent avoids that. Number eight, Prudent also avoids one who is angry. We talked a lot about that last week. Chapter 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up dissension, and a hot-tempered one commits many sins. Uncontrolled anger produces uncontrollable damage. So if you hang around somebody who's uncontrollable in their emotions, they're going to influence you. They're going to harm you. They're going to harm the community. Some people are just angry. And there comes a time when we must just avoid them. So, look at letter B, the wise response to troublemakers. Troublemakers would be that whole list that we just looked at, all eight of them, okay? And it's throughout the book of Proverbs. The wise respond to troublemakers. Number one, chapter 22, verse 10 says, drive out the mocker. It doesn't say tolerate him. It doesn't say be kind to him. It doesn't say don't judge him. It says boot him out, kick him out. Chapter 22, verse 10, drive out the mocker and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. You ever been part of a group and somebody finally leaves and you kind of go, oh, that's kind of cool. That's what it's talking about. What is a mocker? A mocker defined, you look in the dictionary, says something like this. To mock means to treat with ridicule or contempt, open disrespect, or willful disobedience of authority. This is one who is a mocker. That's what it means to mock. A mocker is one who picks fights. He's a hater. He refuses to learn. He twists the truth for his own personal gain. That's perversion. He also seeks partners in crime. He wants somebody to go along with him. It says to drive him out. What does it mean? Remove him. Stop his influence. This is really hard because the ones who stand up and do it are going to take an awful lot of flack. And it gets hard. Look at number two. Drive out the gossip. Sometimes we just think, well, the gossip's just kind of, you know, just wayward. Scripture's a lot harder. Look at chapter 26, verses 20 to 21. Listen to this comment about God's wisdom on a gossip. Without wood, a fire goes out. True or false? When the fuel's all gone, done. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. What is a gossip? If you look in the dictionary, it says something like this. To gossip is rumor or negative talk. Rumor's negative talk as well. Of a person, sensational or intimate in nature. I should add there that desires to hurt or to harm. I've also got a definition of to slander, because gossip is right there. Slander is just a little more mean. Slander means a false and malicious, and malicious just means I really want to hurt you. A false and malicious, usually oral statement, because they don't want it written down, because then it's credited to them, that is injurious to a person's reputation. Gossip and slander, that's what it intends to do. So don't tolerate it. The gossiper is a hater. The gossiper is one who twists or perverts the truth. They are secretly assassinating a person's reputation. Don't be a part of it. And drive them out. No fuel for the fire if they're gone. Don't protect the one who is gossiping, or you become an accomplice. All right. Just three more things to say here. Under number three, don't shelter the troublemaker. Need to stop their influence because they draw you and others in. Specifically those newer Christians or those who might be a little bit naive, the wise have got to protect the community. So letter A, smooth deceivers. Okay? Yeah, I know you don't watch Westerns. I don't know what's wrong with you people, but anyway. Every once in a while you get a guy on there and he's selling snake oil, which doesn't do anything, but he lies. With smooth talk, he knows how to find the naive and sell to them. This is the concept in Romans 16, 17, 18. Are you there at Romans 16? These next three sections of Scripture I want you to look up. Smooth deceivers. Romans 16, 17, 18. Paul's coming to the end of the book, and he says something that is really important to believers. And it relates to believers in a church setting. All of this that we've talked about in Proverbs relates to all of mankind. It focuses a lot more specific on believers. So chapter 16 of Romans, verse 17 and 18, Paul writes, I urge you, brothers. There's intensity in his voice. It is like, do not neglect this. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. For such people are not serving our Lord Jesus, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. So, very straightforward. You got a smooth talker, keep away from them. Because they are serving their own appetites, not the Lord. Don't follow somebody who is just picking on others or having gossip or whatever it is so that they can prove that they're better. Okay? They're deceiving the minds of naive people. That's the intent. Now look at 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Letter B says, lovers of self. That's the heart and soul of a fool. That's the heart and soul of a mocker. That's the heart and soul of, and we could go on. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. But mark this, Paul is writing again. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. That doesn't, what that means is they're more concerned about themselves than anybody else. Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal and not lovers of good, treacherous, rash and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is the heart and soul of a fool. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. You know what that's saying? Pretending to look good. There are some people who are lovers of self that are really good at convincing you they care about you when they really don't. They want to use you for their agenda. Don't get caught in it. Notice what it says, your response, as a wise person humbly walking with the Lord, have nothing to do with them. When we give somebody a voice, they stick around. Remove the voice. Little Sharon, she wasn't very big, just not even old enough to really button buttons, and so she's real tiny. Sharon, we need to get ready, and if she didn't want to get ready, she'd just collapse on the ground and start bawling. And you know what we would do? And we'd go off and do something else and leave her. And after a while, if you're keeping an eye on her, she'd kind of go, Okay. This is what the Bible says about gossipers, about fools, slanderers, those kind of people. Don't give them an ear. Sometimes we say, well, no, God wants me to show mercy and grace. Well, sure he does, but there's a time when it's done. If they're not going to learn, avoid. Look at letter C. Titus chapter 3, verses 10 through 11. That's right after 2 Timothy, if you don't know where that book is, because it's pretty short. Okay. Warped and sinful. Warn a divisive person once, then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. Listen, he is self-condemned. He's demonstrating that he really is not enjoying a relationship with Creator. He's enjoying a relationship with himself. By the way, that verse matches with Matthew 18, where it talks about discipline. Confront him for the purpose of reconciliation, If he rejects, confront him a second time for reconciliation. If he rejects, then you take it to the church, and the church says, we do not want to associate with that kind of behavior. See you later, dude. And cut him loose. And some people say, how is that God's grace? My friend, it's God's grace to remove an evil influence from those who are trying to grow up in Christ. Here's some applications real quickly. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. That's what a person who is humble walking with the Lord longs for. Look at number two. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. With that verse, it summarizes what Scripture says. Do not sacrifice truth for peace. You got to hold on to truth, but you can hold on to it peacefully. And then number three, says two, should say three. That dumb computer of mine. Stay away from troublemakers. Those who are marked by hate, anger, quick temper, gossip, lovers of quarrels, greedy, all that list that was in there, they are not ready to change. But they do want to involve you in the drama. That's how churches become divided. That's how workplaces become a pain to work at, because we give fuel to the evil-minded person. God is so good that he's given us a whole new life so that we don't have to live that way, so that we can be humble before our Lord and learn how to live in harmony God's way. Father, I want to thank you for today.